in 1 Peter chapter 3 and 4, he talks to women and says that there is an imperishable beauty of gentleness, and that it comes with being gentle and quiet. And he says this to the women. He says, while you're fixing your hair and while you're adorning yourself with gold, make sure you put on the imperishable beauty of gentleness. That's quite a statement. And it's a statement that's being made to men and women. In Galatians, he says that gentleness is a fruit of the Spirit. It is something that is produced by God. It's not something that naturally happens with us. It's something that God has to help us with. And in Ephesians, he says this. He says, it's the proof that gentleness is proof of walking worthy of your calling. That's a pretty good parenthesis around what walking worthy of a calling is. In Philippians, he said, let your gentleness be known to all men, and the Lord is near. So if you forget even about the men, don't forget about the God. The Lord is near. And then in Timothy, he said this, a man of God pursues gentleness. That means he goes after gentleness. I mean, he looks for a way for gentleness to play a role. It's not easy for men. A lot of times as men, we see it one way and we want to just use our strength or our aura, whatever you want to call it. I'm a man. And he says, pursue gentleness. If you'll go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Now, Corinthians, the funny thing about Corinthians is it is known as the most spiritual of all the churches, the church at Corinth. They had all the gifts going, and they also had all the crazy going. How can this be? Well, Paul said it's not supposed to be. And Paul is trying to fix it. He's giving them instruction. And he's written on a lot of different things. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 14, down to 21, he says this to the end of the chapter. He says, I do not write these things to shame you, but as my beloved children, I warn you. As my beloved children, I warn you. For though you might have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet you do not have many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. Man, that was a slip up, but that's true. Forgotten. I have been forgotten. I have been forgotten. I know that I've been forgotten. It does not feel good to be forgotten. I grew up 37 years and 9 months. So figure that one out in a denomination. I grew up 37 years and 9 months in a denomination. You know what that meant? I went to church before I was born in my mother's womb for 9 months. Anybody else like that? And there's some things that I was forgotten in. Whatever you came in. And I've said this before. I believe that most people mean well. And especially in denominations. I believe that they mean well. But how you come to Christ, how you come to Christ is a birthing process. The Bible says this, and Jesus said this. He said, you must be born again. You remember Nicodemus came to Jesus at night? I thought that was one of the best sermon titles I ever heard because I was a youth pastor when I heard it. And youth pastors are always looking for material to get kids' attention. And when I was a youth pastor, I admit it. I had all these books of icebreakers and how to open up services, and I had lights and smoke, and I had all that stuff. I had a budget that was embarrassing. And I was like, wow, I just spend money or lose it, right? Isn't that the American way? So my youth room was rocking as far as that goes. And that so I had all the little things to make something work and look good and sound right and to get their attention. And then I realized the Word is big enough by itself, and the Holy Spirit doesn't need an aura, and the Holy Spirit doesn't need atmosphere. He is the atmosphere. So, but coming up in the way that I came up, I understood this, that there's a way that we come in. There's a way that we're introduced to the Lord. There's a way that we find Christ. And Nicodemus was such a man that he came to Jesus at night because he was afraid to come to him in the daytime. He was very high ranking as Pharisee, and he came to Jesus and he said, we know that you're real. He snuck into Jesus at night and said, we realize you're real because no one could do what you do unless he was sent by God. And Jesus was explaining to him that you must be born again. And that through Nicodemus, and he said, I'm an older man. How do I go back into my mother's womb? I know that's kind of coarse, but that's what he did not understand at all. And that title that I heard preached for this was Nick at Night. You remember Nickelodeon? They had that thing. I said, that's catchy, if nothing else. Nick at Night. I like it. I said, you got to give that youth pastor credit for that one. He could just dismiss and have a pizza party after that. Nick at Night, Nick at Night. They don't even know what it is, but Nick at Night. Jesus said, you must be born again. And as he explained that to him, a truth came out that I began to realize is that however that you are born into Christ, and Paul's calling these people, he said, you're my children. And Timothy is my spiritual son, and I'm sending him to you. But however you came in, some people come in through an evangelist or a TV evangelist or a movement from the 70s or something that happened down in Brownsville, Florida, or something that happened up in Canada, or something that happened locally, or something that happened outside of a church, and then things that happen inside of a church. But all those things are real, and I'm appreciating every one of them. But the truth is, however we came in, it's just like a baby that's born. And like I told you last week, when a baby's born, one of the very first things that they do after that baby cries is that they take towels and they begin to wipe the afterbirth off of the child because there is a residue on the child that needs to be washed off. And in the same way, when we come to Christ, there is a residue on us, however we came in. It will attach itself to us, and it was good to get us there, but we need to have a lot of that stuff wiped off so that we can find out who God really is. Amen, somebody. Okay. And Paul said this. He said, you don't have many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. Therefore, I urge you, imitate me. What an incredible thing to say. How much Paul must have had to get past from his own guilt to know that he was a persecutor of the church, and now he turns around and he's preaching to those same people that he once persecuted, and he's telling them, imitate me. That's powerful. But it was correct because Paul had an experience with God that was tangible. And he had become a father to them. A father is more than just giving someone your name. It's being there for them and raising them up and doing the hard stuff and tucking them in and washing them whenever they're dirty and loving them enough to give them instruction. Oh, we had our grandbabies last night. I'm thinking of everything I've been through in the last 24 hours. I love them enough to be Pawpaw. I love them so much. And Paul said, I love you like that. Now follow me. He realized that they were watching him. He also realized, I better live a life. They're going to follow me anyway. My life better be an example to them. So he was getting it all out there. He said, therefore, I urge you, imitate me. For this reason, I have sent Timothy to you, who is my beloved and faithful son in the Lord, who will remind you of my ways in Christ as I teach everywhere in every church. Now, some are puffed up as though I were not coming to you. In other words, he said, some of you are acting arrogant. But I will come to you shortly, if the Lord wills. And I will know not the word of those who are puffed up, but the power. For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. What do you want? Shall I come to you with a rod or in love and a spirit of what? Gentleness, meekness. It depends on what your Bible is reading. NKJV is supposed to be gentleness. It's all right. It's all right. It means the same thing. The spirit of gentleness. And he's asking him this. This is what he said. He said, shall I come to you with a rod? Now, Paul was a little, they say he was a little hunchback man, just a small man of no appearance, no power. But this, they knew this, if they gave him something to write on, one of his letters could straighten up a whole church. But he said, when I get there, shall I bring a rod? Or do you want me to come in gentleness? Now, know this about Paul. Even though he was that little man, he was the one responsible for a lot of bad things that happened to people before. And let me help you understand something. They had stirred up Paul at this point. Be angry and don't sin. And I believe that Paul was at that place. At the Bible study yesterday, some of y'all saw my eyes glaze over because I was talking about someone in a church, the second church I ever pastored, and it was bad. Or you want me to stop? Enough said. It was bad. It was bad. But someone used a word that was very inappropriate, and it was bad. So there are times when gentleness goes away. But all the other times, gentleness should be there. There are times when people go too far. But all the other times, we should be gentle. So while there are times for certain things, Bible says this about spurring people. It says that we are to spur one another on to good works. Doesn't it say that? But I say this too with that. Don't spur me unless you love me. But if you love me, spur me. Right? If you love me, spur me. So I want to flip over to Ephesians 4, verse 29 to 32. And this is what it says in Ephesians 4, verse 29 through 32. It says, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth. I just want to stop right there and ask you, how much room is there left for corruption to come out of our mouth? If he said, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth. We get right on the edge of that, too, can't we? You ever hear somebody just about say something and they just give you a hard consonant? And you're like, and they stop themselves? I guess that they didn't get the word out, but I got the thought, and I know what was just beneath. Are y'all understanding what I'm saying? That's part of being human. We can get to those places. But he says this. He said, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Even as God in Christ forgave you. And he's saying this, that there's a way that we can grieve the Holy Spirit. We grieve the Spirit when we let bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking, and malice be in our lives as believers. It doesn't fit. How many of you guys remember Sesame Street? Y'all remember that little chart? It had about 4 or 8 or 10 things on it. And it said, one of these things doesn't match. You know that? And you're supposed to circle it and guess which one it was. Well, if that little game was what things, which one of these things grieve the Holy Spirit? All of them do. And he said, none of them are supposed to be in the life of the believer. It's not supposed to be that way. So one of the times, and as we were discussing Galatians chapter 2 yesterday, we were talking about Paul, who called out Peter because Peter did something that he shouldn't have done. And he was falling into pressure, and he was falling in back into old ways that he had just come out of. And Paul immediately withstood him to his face. And Paul drew a line like that. Can I tell you that according to the word, there are some lines that need to be drawn in your life like that? And any time that you let spin past that is not in your favor. How is it that Jesus, with the same guy, Peter, had to tell Peter in from one period of sentence to the start of another, that Jesus had to turn to Peter and say, get behind me, Satan. After years of walking with Jesus, that was still inside of Peter. So if that can be inside of Peter, who actually walked with Jesus, it can be in me too. It can be in us too. Get behind me, Satan. It could be that my brother has to stand up and tell me, do not do that. You know what it is to withstand somebody to their face? That is strong. But at times it's necessary and worth it for the advancing of us. Because there are certain things that we cannot allow to walk in step with us. Now, if there are things that are residue that we need to get off of our life when we come to Christ, there are also things that are in our life when we were away from Christ that needs to be cut off of us. And we don't carry that anymore in our Christian walk with us. So now, story time with John. You like that one, Logan? I don't usually get Logan to laugh like that. Oh, she's stressed out. No, it's good, honey. This time it's good. It is. So I took my family on a little overnighter a couple weeks ago to Greenville, South Carolina. And we love Greenville. My family loves Greenville. It's just 2 hours away, but I pastored there at a very hard time in my life. It was my first church, and it was pitiful. And it was sad. And it was little, and it was what? It's my story. Told you it was a good one. She likes this one. She said it was great. We didn't have nothing, but we had everything. I saw God move like crazy. Story time with John could go on for a while. And God gets all the glory for that. It's just amazing. But, of course, we wanted to drive back by the old house, and the church was right beside the house, and it was rough. It was rough. There were two low-income housing projects, and our house was right in the middle of them. One was African-American. The other one was Hispanic. And there were some rough things that happened. Add to the mix on either side, there were crack houses. And there was us right there in the middle. This little light of mine. I'm going to put it out so nobody sees me. Michaela, I had my little four-wheeler out putting around the neighborhood, and I had to lay over her and duck her down one day because someone was stealing someone's firewood, and the guy was shooting at him. Pow, 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 pow. Didn't he? It's crazy, wasn't it? I had to lay our kids down in the house sometimes because the crack houses would get a little rough and decided to start shooting at each other. And as I saw that building, I said, look, that sign was crushed in, and my name is still on the church sign. It's like if you take the stickers off, it's like you can see the gummy. You see my name in gummy worms. That's what it looks like. Still down like, there's my name right there, still there. And almost so many of those people have died. It's rough. It's a rough section. So back to story time. We drove around, we went through the parking lot, and I looked up and I had a memory. There's these big water oak trees. I'm talking about big, big water oak trees. And the limbs went out into the power lines. They just surrounded the power lines and was tangled all up in the power lines. And I said, Christine, you remember those limbs? I said, there's the spot, there's the scars on those trees. I cut all those limbs. And I said, you remember what happened? Like, yeah. Here's what happened. In the past, this was a neighborhood. I talk about being forgotten. It was forgotten. And it's about a mile and a half as the crow flies from Furman University. And Furman University is one of the most expensive private colleges, universities in the state. And it is absolutely beautiful. But how many of you know outside of the most beautiful places are some of the most rundown places? And that's how it was. Story time with John. And it would get very cold there, and it would freeze. And with those limbs in the power lines, when it would freeze, inevitably, those limbs would break, and everybody in our neighborhood, we'd lose power. And you could drive down through the pretty parts of town, and all the limbs were cut. You ever seen them with the big truck and the extended saw? And they kept those cut. But we didn't have anybody to cut our limbs, but I owned a chainsaw. And I got a ladder, and I climbed up, and I would cut those limbs. And while trying to do good, I was on the last limb. It wasn't ouch like something you feel, it was ouch. Transformer. You think it's loud, you ought to hear it go off when it's right there. I cut the last limb, and it came back, and then I did one of that and grabbed the line and pulled it down. And when it did, bow! And here I am out there, on a limb, and I've got the two projects beside me. And all of a sudden, when that, what do you think happened whenever that transformer blew? Everybody's power. Guess who's responsible? And I was like, oh man. I tried to get off the ladder and run real quick and get over to the house. It was too late. They knew it was me. So they was coming around like, what's wrong? What did you do? So I called the power company. I said, look, y'all might be getting ready to find me. But I told them what I did. And I told them why I did it. And I went outside, and it wasn't maybe 20 minutes later, Duke Power showed up with the big old giant trucks. They had everything back in shape in about an hour and a half. And I said, am I going to get fined? I just went and asked them. I said, you know, I called you. I'm the guy that called. I did it. Am I going to get fined? And they're like, no, it needed to be done anyway. I said, yep, and that's why I did it. So the end of that is this. I stand right here, and I'm telling you things that you need to cut out of your life. I'll cut what I can cut. And sometimes when I cut, it's going to cause power to go out. I'm willing to take the risk, because I see a day that if we don't prepare for it now, it'll cost us later. And I was trying to head off so that we don't lose our power when it's really cold, because cold days are coming. I'll cut off what I can cut off. But I don't stand up here and tell you this stuff because it's comfortable for me. I tell you these things because God's word says it. And I'll stand before him one day, and it will be, did you tell them what needed to be cut out of their lives? When Paul says, get rid of these things, he means get rid of these things. Remove these things. Get rid of all of these things. That's really your job. I'm going to do what I can. But it's in his word. He said to get rid of these things. I can't find. There it is. Ephesians 31:32. He said to get rid of these things. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away from you. Another translation says, get rid of these things. With all malice, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. That's the kind of place that I want us to have right here, a place that forgives, a place that looks past, a place that doesn't hold past sins, past faults, against each other, because that just simply means if we're going to do that, then our time is coming. Have you ever been around somebody that is always talking down about somebody else? Let me tell you this. Your day's coming if that's the type of person that you're hanging out with. It's like at the DMV. You remember they used to have you pull that thing that said D486,012? That means it's going to take 30 years for you to get up there to the counter, but your day's coming. I believe that there's a room full of people this morning that are saying, if His Word says it needs to go, then I believe it needs to go. So can you just say, God, me. What work needs to be done on me? Not the person beside me, not the person in front of me, not the person across the room, not my spouse, not my friend. What needs to happen in me? Not my child, not my relative. What needs to happen in me, Lord? Will You help me cut these things out of my life that should not be there? I'm not saying that there's some things that won't ever come back up again. I'm saying that just like those limbs that I cut, as I looked at them, I realized I cut those limbs so far back that they're still cut back enough. But the day will come when somebody will need to trim them again. And God, there are things that we trim out of our life that we think need to go. But what I'm asking You to do, God, is show us the thing that You say needs to go. And help me to obey, to get that out of my life, Lord. I want to be like You, Jesus. And the one that You are described in Yourself, who can resist Him? Who can resist Him? Thank You that You're for us. Thank You that Your ways are higher than ours. But You show us Your ways so that we can follow those. So that we're just not walking around doing the best that we can. Your ways are higher. And I will follow You, Lord. I will follow You. Wherever You lead, I'll follow You, God. I thank You for the instruction of Your Word. Can you just thank Him right now? God, I thank You for the instruction of Your Word. I thank You that sometimes it hurts a little bit. I thank You because You're prodding me on to good works, Lord. You're actually cutting away the excess, the things that aren't a benefit to me. You're making me into who You want me to be. The scripture that says, till Christ be formed in us. Be formed in me, Lord. Be formed in me, Jesus. Be formed in me. Thank You, Lord. Thank You for it in Jesus' name. Folks, it's so easy to see work that needs to be done in somebody else, isn't it? Work in me. Work in me. Yeah.
Would you stand this morning? If you remember this old song, let's make this our prayer this morning. Open these.